to come into your presence and to your word. We pray, O God, that your Holy Spirit comes in and enlighten our hearts and minds, especially to give us an understanding of your word. Teach us the ways of your Spirit. Teach us the things of your Spirit. And help us to move into the realm of the Spirit that you wanted us to move all the time. And we promise to always give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. You may be seated.
We're looking at the leadings of the Holy Spirit. Last week we talked about dreams, how to understand dreams. So this morning we're going to look at visions. Let's read our text first in Acts chapter 2. And we'll read from verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And all my men servants and all my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and notable day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So here is promised in the Bible that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will bring forth visions. And as we have seen last week, that the word sons and daughters, young men and old men, do not just refer to physical age. Taking the leading from the epistle of 1 John, where he used children, young men, and fathers to illustrate spiritual age. So here we believe that it refers more to spiritual growth and spiritual age. And the definition of young man in the Bible is in 1 John. Let's refresh our memory by turning to 1 John chapter 2. The definition of young man is more talking about the process of the spiritual life at its peak in spiritual battles and in claiming of the promises of God. 1 John chapter 2, reading from verse 12, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him from the beginning. Obviously, this does not just refer to physical age. Not all of those fathers may be spiritual fathers. Some of them who are born again, when they are old, they are spiritual babes as far as God is concerned. So here is in reference to spiritual age. Let's read on. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you. And you have overcome the wicked one. So here it is in reference to spiritual age. In speaking about the young men, he particularly mentioned that young men are those who overcome the enemy, those who are strong in the word of God. And as we grow in our spiritual life, we will grow from children to young men and to spiritual fathers in the Lord. There is a spiritual age. Taking that definition from 1 John, as we go back to Acts chapter 2, we can see how that there is a spiritual age that is mentioned in our sons and daughters, young men and old men. We all know that as a sign, because we know that young men also drink, not the old men. So here the Bible is referring more to spiritual age. And last week we examined the word dream in the book of Acts chapter 2, and we have found that the word dreams in Acts 2 is not the usual word for dream. It's a special word that speaks about a consciousness of the vision of God, and it fills your whole life, and it works even in the subconscious realm. So it talks about how the visions of God or the dreams of God and the will of God has consumed your entire being. Now that will be in line with spiritual age. The more you grow in the Lord, the more the vision and the will of God consumes you. By the time you reach the spiritual age of a spiritual father, you would have the things of God, the will of God and the vision of God so saturated in your life that you would have it even at a subconscious level. Even at a subconscious level. And so let's look into visions this morning. We'll look at dreams and how to understand dreams last Sunday. So we're going to see visions and how to understand visions. Basically, there are three types of vision. You can use the word types. Three types of vision, and we must know what they are in order that we can flow along with God's manifestation, and they are part of the leadings of the Spirit of God. There is first of all what they call the open vision. The open vision is a vision where you could see physical things and at the same time see spiritual things. Like for example, if the Lord Jesus were to appear right now and stand in front here in this place, and your eyes could see him, and at the same time you could see this plant here, you would be experiencing what we call an open vision. You are wide awake, you are conscious, and you could see him as if he was physically there. That would be an open vision. The word open is used more to speak about your sense, your physical senses are still open. Open to the physical world and yet open to the spiritual world at the same time. Now these open visions can be so real that the spiritual things look as if they are physical. You could hardly differentiate between them at times. In Acts chapter 12, Peter was in a prison, waiting for trial, or rather for execution. The church in the book of Acts was praying, and it was incidentally an overnight prayer. So you see, it's not new. Acts 12, they were praying throughout the night. And what happened in Acts 12 was an angel came. So let's see Peter experiencing an open vision in the book of Acts chapter 12. The book of Acts chapter 12. In verse 5, we read about the overnight prayer that was being held in Mark's house. And verse 7, now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, gird yourself and tie on your sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. So he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real. He thought he was seeing a vision. He was, but it was so real. And yet, it was a vision. And here is what we read as we continue. Verse 10, when they were past the first and the second God post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. While I was here, he says, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jews, of the Jewish people. And then he went to Mark's house where they were holding the prayer meeting. Here we have Peter experiencing an open vision. How do we know it's an open vision? See, when he woke up, first of all, the angel touched him. It felt real. Somebody, you know, shook him up. He was sound asleep. Remember, the next day he was supposed to be executed. Only if you have God can you do that. What will you do if you know that tomorrow you're going to be executed? Most people would be sleepless. The last night on earth, a man still is sound asleep because he knew Jesus. He has no more fear of death. Not only that, I believe he knew that his time had not yet come to go home. He was probably still in middle age at that time. He was not old yet. And the Lord Jesus told him in the Gospel of John, right at the ending, he says, when you are old, then they will meet you and do something to you. But he was not old yet, so he knew his time had not come. He slept soundly. The angel shook him up, and he was not sure whether it was a vision, it was really happening, or it was not. See, everything was so real. He saw the prison gates. It tells us that he even knew that he passed through the first gate and the second, first God post and the second God post. And he physically saw the iron gate open. With his physical eyes. At the same time, the angel said, follow me. So there he was, the angel was walking in front of him, and he was following the angel from behind, just watching where the angel went. It was an open vision. And open visions are interesting. For when you receive one or you experience one, it looks like the spirit realm and the physical realm are just one. It's quite hard to differentiate the two. They all just happen together. It is what we call the fifth dimension happening. See, man lives in three dimensions. Trigonometrical world. The fourth dimension, as described by Albert Einstein, is time. Time is one of the dimensions scientists discover in the universe. And beyond that will be what he called the spiritual dimension. The spirit world that man has not fully discovered yet. So here we have the spirit world being experienced as if it's a daily part of life. An open vision. That's the first type of vision. The second type of vision that a person can experience is called the closed vision. The closed vision. The second type of vision called a closed vision is where you only see the spirit world. Many times, if you experience it, you would probably not be aware whether you're in the body or in the spirit. Your physical senses completely close up. You are not aware of. If somebody came and shook you while you were having a close vision, you wouldn't know. You're in a quote-unquote trance-like state. You're not aware of your physical surroundings at all. All your total conscious awareness is the spirit world. It was one of these experiences that Paul calls the great visions and revelations that he received, and he says, he knoweth not whether it was in the spirit are in the body. We know if somebody was gone or it was just a spirit. That is experience of a close vision. The word close is applied to your physical senses. Your physical senses are close up. And you don't experience them anymore. The full state of it is in a trance. When I mention the word trance in Asia, people think of the wrong kind. The Bible uses the word trance, so it's alright to you. Look at the book of Acts chapter 10. And so you must understand that this is the Spirit of God working. In verse 10, then he became very hungry, this is Peter again, and wanted to eat, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And he saw a spiritual vision before him. He saw a close vision. And in the vision he heard a voice, he saw the animals, 3 times it happened. It was a close vision. When he came out of it, it was gone, and he did not fully understand the meaning of the vision. That would be a close vision. The first 2 types of visions are not so common. They are not very common. And the first 2 types of visions come as the spirit will. There is nothing you can do about trying to get them. When God wants to show you those things, he will show you. As a young Christian, I used to desire for all these things, but as you mature in the Lord, you learn not to live by them. And you reach a point where you don't desire anything. I mean, you're just happy praising and serving the Lord, and then it can just suddenly happen. So the first 2 types of visions, there is no training that's required. You could be a young Christian, and that you could be given a open vision or closed vision. There's nothing you can do about it except to understand its interpretation, which we're going to say. But what we're going to focus most of our time on this morning is on the 3rd type of vision, which to us is the most important because, let me put it this way, it is the only kind of vision that can be developed, can be trained, and can be recognized. So the 3rd type of vision is called the inner vision, or some call it the spiritual vision. But to make it clearer, I like to call it the inner vision. The inner vision is a vision that you see inside the corridors or the canvas of your spirit. You are consciously awake. If somebody touches you, you would be aware of it. But yet you see a inner picture, something akin but quite different to the picture you see when you think. A sense that is stronger. Now this 3rd type of inner vision is called a spiritual or inner vision. And that is the only type where we can be trained, and that is the most common type of vision. Let's illustrate with God's voice. God can speak with his audible voice. Audible voice. I've heard it only once in my lifetime. God can speak through the voice of the Holy Spirit inside you. That is inside you, but it's authoritative and loud. Sometimes it sounds like outside, but you know it's inside. And mentally, God can speak through the inward voice of your human spirit. So you can see that we could learn to recognize God's audible voice the voice of the human spirit, the voice of the Holy Spirit, and the voice of the human spirit. Most of the time, God will speak to you through your human spirit. And then a little bit more, as you say, less often through the Holy Spirit. But in terms of speaking, it's also quite often comparatively speaking. And thirdly, very, very infrequently, sometimes none at all, through the audible voice. Seeing the relationship, visions also have a relationship to the voice. The most common type of vision that God brings forth is called a spiritual or inner vision. And then less often is what they call the closed vision, and less often still is the open vision. You can't do anything about the first two visions except to be open to them. But there's a lot you can do about the third type, called the spiritual or inner vision. And before we go into scriptures in this area, let us make this statement further. Of the three types of vision, the first type of vision, what is it called? Open vision. The second is a closed vision. The third is a spiritual vision. You have got it. And of the three types of vision, the highest type of revelation is the third type, the spiritual or inner vision. And the lowest type of revelation is the first type of vision, the open vision. It's in Malay, called Termalay. Divert. Reverse it. It's inversely compared. Here, this statement is not only made as discovering the things of the Spirit, but other men of God have also made the same statement. Amir Kenneth Hagin said the same thing in his book, I Believe in Visions, where he says the Lord Jesus came to his hospital, he went into the permissive veil, got in terms of trouble, and was in a hospital, and Jesus went and visited him there. It was an open vision, and the Lord teach him about vision, and then the Lord described to him about different types of vision, and the Lord also said the same thing, that the lowest type of vision is the open vision. The lowest type of revelation is the open vision. Excuse me, let me put it correctly. The lowest type of revelation is the open vision, and the highest type of revelation is the inner or spiritual vision. But the highest type of vision is the open vision, and the lowest type of vision is the inner or spiritual vision. You get that? Let me repeat it again. The three types of vision, open vision, closed vision, and spiritual or inner vision. The highest vision that you can reach in the realm of the Spirit is the open vision. Second is the closed vision. Third, and the lowest type of vision is the inner spiritual vision. But when it comes to revelation, the highest type of vision is the reverse. It's the inner spiritual vision, and the lowest type of revelation you can receive, you can receive the lowest type, is the open vision. This can be compared also to the voice of God. The highest type of revelation that comes through would be not through the audible voice, but through sensitivity and development through your inner spirit. Now, Robert Lydon made a statement close to this about what God wants to do in his last days. That God is training his people to the extent that they will know God's thoughts and feelings, that they will just move into it without necessarily hearing from God. If you understand what is being spoken. He's saying that God's people will reach a point of union with God. Then they will sort of just know what God wants to do.
It just moved into it. And in the past, there has always been men had to hear from God in an audible voice before they could operate. But the more we move into the end times, we have to learn that revelation is progressive and is flowing to its fullness. And that is why we need to teach them vision so that they understand what God is doing and what God intends to do and move in our lives. Now here is the reason why open vision is the lowest revelation, although it's the highest vision. And inner spiritual vision is the highest revelation, although it's the lowest vision. If you see an open vision, you don't require much faith. If Jesus were to appear to you right now, stand in front of you and say, I want you to go right now to house number 3, SS4, stroke 38, there will be a person there named Tan Akau. Excuse me if that happened to your address. Anyone here in this state, there's your address, excuse me. It is not Tan Akau. And if they go to Tan Akau house, and you will find his wife lying on the bed, and she's been lying there for 18 months, and 6 days, 3 hours, and 20 minutes. And I want you to go there and raise her from that bed. Go, son. You don't require much faith. Jesus just talked with you. He appeared to you. He appeared in an open vision. You saw him. You heard his voice ringing in your ears. It doesn't take much faith. All you have to do is just go and obey. But if what he received was an impression, he sensed in his spirit that God was going to say something to him. And he could not get it quite so clearly. And so he has to go to God and praise and worship and get into the realm of spirit, get his mind quiet. You know, there are also mental noises. You have spiritual, you have physical noises, but mental noises sometimes hinder. So get his mind quiet. And then he began to have a very faint picture coming. And he see a house and he see a road. And he saw the number there of the house, number 3, SS4, stroke 32. And then saw a person there, like, very faint vision. As he comes out from that, an inner vision, that is. And sometimes he comes out of that and he says, is this my imagination? Am I imagining all these things? See, it's easier to doubt an inner vision and impression than it is to doubt an open vision. I know it's easy to doubt what somebody else shares. When somebody comes and says, Jesus just met me on the street, you know, you look at him incredulous. But if Jesus appeared to you, it's not so easy to doubt when you heard his voice, when you seen his face. It's easier to doubt an inner or spiritual vision than it is to doubt an open vision. For that reason, it requires more faith to obey an inner vision. And because faith is proportional to pleasing God and the way God does things, things that demand a greater faith are classified under a higher spiritual revelation. So they've gone systematically, you see how it's concluded, that the inner vision and spiritual vision are regarded as the highest form of revelation because it demands more from you. It demands more from your life. It demands more faith from you. It demands more sharpness from you. Sharp ability to hear God. Then it does an open vision. It just comes. And so we as we see all these things, then God in His last days would want to work in our lives to the extent that He begins to build in our lives to show many spiritual and inner visions. And we can walk with God so much that what God thinks and what God sees is automatically channeled into our spirit. And we have an inner knowing of flowing with God divinely. Robert Lyden spoke a little about that, about the last days, what the church will move like. It won't be like before. We will really know God's heart, really know God's mind, and we will just move into the things of God. There are similar two dreams, three, and I have to use a different word to make it clear, three ways in which vision can appear to you. Three types of vision and three ways it can appear to you, just like dreams. Visions can appear to you as what we call an allegorical vision, or it can appear to you as a message vision, or it can appear to you as a clear-cut, realized situation vision. You'll find all those things in the Bible. We have touched on this, I know, in teaching on the gifts of discerning of spirit, so I'll just give a few descriptions and go further. For example, in Acts 10 that we have just read, Peter had the second type of vision called a trance, a close vision, and he had one of the ways that vision can express itself called the allegorical type. He saw in Acts 10 animals coming down and going up three times. And in that cloth that brought the animals down, he saw all kinds of unclean animals. And then God said, "Peter, rise, kill and eat." And he said, "Lord, I've never eaten anything unclean, common or unclean." And then the vision went up, and then here it comes again, repeated a second time. And again the voice said, "Peter, rise, kill and eat." And Peter replied the same thing, "I've never eaten anything common or unclean, Lord." He went up. In Acts 10, it happened a third time. The vision came down and says, "Peter, kill and eat." And Peter says, "No, Lord, I have not eaten of anything common or unclean." And then he went up and he stopped. The vision stopped and ended. He came out of it. The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 10 that Peter was doubting. He was wondering what it meant. See, allegorical visions are very hard to interpret. You need the same Holy Spirit to give you the interpretation. It's just like dreams that we touched last week. And the symbols again follow the same principles in the book, in dreams that we covered last week. That the symbols are to be scriptural. That is, if a dog represents something bad in the Bible, then in your interpretation it should be interpreted as something bad. Your interpretation must be in line with the scriptures. Or if it's an unclean bird, then it symbolizes something that is not good. So all your interpretation has to be in line with the Bible. If you see a white snake that says, "Hello," it is still bad even though it's white. So your interpretation of the white snake will only be that it is evil, like a wolf in sheep's skin. So our interpretation must be in line with the Bible. Same principles apply as last week. And so Peter here was wondering what it meant. And suddenly here comes these three Gentiles downstairs and they're looking for Peter. Look at it. Three Gentiles. Three times it came down. Three Gentiles. Obviously we need a lot of good interpretation, otherwise Peter will think that God says, "Go kill and eat." What is God trying to do? Eat Gentiles? Make him a cannibal? No, what God was saying is go and minister among them. Go and minister among them. And it confirmed the vision. Peter later understood that vision was telling him to go to minister among the Gentiles, not necessarily to do anything else. So that is an allegorical type of vision. The second way a vision can come to people is what we call a message vision. For example, in the book of Acts chapter 16, Paul went to Mysia and then he went to Bithynia, and the Holy Spirit told him, "Don't go to these places," and he went in the end to Troas, which is like Klang, is a seaside town. And while he was there, he saw a vision in the night in Acts 16. A famous vision that we call the Macedonian vision. Where in the vision he heard a man, and a man dressed in Macedonian garments saying, "Come over here and help us." Later we read in the book of Acts 16 that Paul went into Macedonia, and the first place he landed was the capital of that area there, Philippi. And as he landed in Philippi, he did not look for the man. He went and he just went wherever he found people meeting, and he ministered the gospel. In fact, the first people he met in Philippi were women who were praying at the seaside. It's funny, he had a vision of a man calling, "Here he is among women." Women's ministry was very strong in Philippi. Sarada must have been there. And so, there we have this women there. Now, Paul understood the vision. The vision is what we call a message vision. Same like your message dream. There may be many things, but only one main message. And the message was, go to Macedonia and minister there, not go and look for the man. If Paul had taken it as a third way a vision come, then it would have been different. But Paul understood it was a message vision. The third way a vision can come is, a vision can come as a clear-cut, direct vision, we can call it. Right? There are three of its types and forms, and there are three ways it can come. So, there's a lot of things there. Now, a clear-cut vision is one that you don't need interpretation. Take it as it is. Example, Acts chapter 10. Cornelius, Acts chapter 9, that is, Acts chapter 9. Acts 10 is Cornelius. Acts 9 is Ananias. Paul had just been born again on the road to Damascus, and Paul was waiting in a house of one Simon a tanner, and while he was there fasting 3 days, Jesus in Acts chapter 9 appeared to Ananias, and Jesus told Ananias who Paul was and what his name was, the house he lived in, the street he stayed in, and part of his future life and ministry, what has happened to him. He gave him a lot of information. And all Ananias had to do was go and lay hands on the Apostle Paul. He was not an apostle yet. He was called to be an apostle. Go and lay hands on him. And get him baptized in the Spirit, and get him into the ways of the Lord. So that was the third way a vision can come, is a direct vision. You don't need interpretation. Take it as it is. Nothing to interpret. Clear-cut vision, just like a clear-cut dream. Having established this factor, what we're going to focus on is the third type of vision called the spiritual or inner vision, which can come in any of these three ways. It can be allegorical, it could be a message, or it could be a direct vision. Whatever it is, the means of receiving them is inside, and it can be trained. It's in the corridors and in the canvas of the room of our spirit. Visions are what God deals with. When God made man, he made man a creature that relies very much on visualizing. All of us, in essence, think in pictures. We can analyze, but we think in pictures. For example, if I say a dog, you don't have in front of your screen the word "a dog." None of you have that. When I say a dog, to your mind comes a picture of some dogs that you know. If you have been dealing with small little dogs, you are thinking about small ones. If you are thinking, if you have been with big dogs, Saint Bernard, you're thinking of big one, they will occupy your whole sofa. But if I say it, a black dog, your inner vision changes. See, we all think in pictures. If I say a fierce black dog, a fierce big black dog, and if I say a huge, enormous, gigantic, fierce, awesome Goliath dog, now you begin to see the description. We think in pictures. Scientists have recently discovered that the brain is more than just like a computer. It's something interesting. Men try to describe their mind in direct proportion to technology as it is. And so, men, when they invented a computer, have tried to see the brain functioning like a computer. In a sense, it does. But today they are moving further and they are beginning to see that the brain is not just a data processing center. It is, but it's more. It is like a holographic processing center. It stores information in pictures. So the data are actually pictures that are stored. You can recall from your mind a picture of the first house you ever lived in. Your mind stores information by pictures. When God created man, He made man that way. Now He said, why are we touching on this natural area here? Remember this, the Bible tells us that the things of the natural are made from the spiritual. The patterns of the things you see around you tell you about the spiritual realm. We are going at it backwards because we have been trained and brought up in a physically conscious society, sense knowledge society. But actually, God made the spiritual world first and then He made a pattern of it in the natural. Let me give you two scriptures to substantiate this point. In the book of Romans chapter 1, in verse 20, for since the creation of the world, He says God's invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. It's talking about God's creation. That when God created this world, He put into His creation the pattern of His attributes that we could recognize. His greatness, His creative and artistic ability. We see it in all our creation. His orderliness. All His attributes can be seen in the natural world. Which is why we say that if a person says they don't believe in God, we are surprised, for there is nature to prove the existence of God. Somebody asked me one time, prove to me that God exists. And the Holy Spirit, I heard the Holy Spirit answer to me saying, you prove that God does not exist. And He could not. Then I went further and said that it takes a lot of faith to believe that God doesn't exist in the evidences that we find in the world. You all wear a watch. If you drop it on the street and somebody found it and say, hey look, the wind and the rain and the river's washing have brought that watch together. That would be hard to believe. And here, the world was created by someone. It was not just forces that were wild and accidentally life came. No, there's a creative force involved. And I went further with this guy who was an atheist and said, The reason I talked to them that way, because I was an atheist before. And I said that, you can go ahead and believe that God, there's no God. I believe that there is a God. If I believe that there is a God and there is no God, which I don't think so because I believe there is a God, but if I believe in God and live my life according to God, and let's say in eternity I find there's no God, I will still be alright, I will still be better off. And you would be, okay. But if I believe in a God and there is a God, and you don't believe in a God and there is a God, and we all face eternity, you got trouble. Both counts, I win. See, you don't lose anything when you believe in a God. You gain. You gain. And there is a God. Thank God, there is a God. So God has created the heavens after the pattern of the Spirit. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Anyway, incidentally, the guy got born again. Hebrews chapter 11. It says here in verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. In other words, it's made of the invisible. And let me go further to say, when God made man after a certain spiritual image of man. If you were to die right now and your physical body were to drop on this earth, and straight away, being a believer in Jesus, you go to heaven right now, you will find that your spiritual body still has two eyes, two ears, one nose, one mouth, two legs, and two hands. There's a pattern. Is it that our spiritual body was made after the physical? Nay. But our spiritual body was the pattern for the physical to be made. There are five differences. In heaven, our body has no other physical organs like we have inside. Paul was the one who said that the Lord for the body, just the stomach is for food. And then he goes on in Corinthians to say, both are done away with. From there we know that our heavenly body, its internal structures are slightly different. But there are still two eyes, two ears, one nose, one mouth, hair, two legs, two hands. No physical organs, no reproductive organs, no inner organs that we rely on. It's totally different. Totally in the image of God. And so, in that realm of the Spirit, there was a pattern that God made this world after. And that God made a human being. And when God made us, notice that one of the most important things that God has said in man, it's inherent in man, was the ability to visualize. The ability to conceive an image inside him. Long ago, before Adam fell, man could use 100% of all his intelligence and all his creativity that God has put. There was total light in man. Today, scientists recognize man is only using 5 or 10% of his brain and ability. So we got a lot in reserve that we know not how to use or what to use it for. And there's a lot that we have fallen off from. But just bear this in mind. There is a certain little, tiny little part of our physical body that scientists have been wondering what is it for. A little, tiny little hook right between, right at the end of your small intestine, going into your large intestine. Excuse me, it's not biology class, it's an illustration. Jesus used parables, so we use physical illustrations. Call your appendix. Your appendix. So, scientists have said, that's a useless little thing. Wonder why is it for? Cut it off. No use. But there are other biologists who have gone further today, and they examine all the animals, and they closely examine it under the microscope, they generally under the microscope, and they look into that part of the animal's body where the small intestine join the mammals, the small intestine join the large intestine, to see what is there that is different from us. And they came with this fact, fantastic conclusion, that all the herbivorous animals have a structure right there, and is used to specially digest plants and leaves. And here is a, they stop there. But I took that fact information and bring this conclusion. But they did infer that it's possible, they did not conclude, that man was once a herbivorous animal. And through his development, he has become more of a carnivorous animal. Are these words too big? He used to eat vegetables, now he used to eat meat a lot. Plain language. And the time that organ of his was no more in use, and it slowly diminished under a little curve called the appendix. And we go back to the Bible, and we found that when God first made man, he said, of every tree, of every herb you shall eat. Man was originally made a vegetarian. After man fell, and after Noah's flood, world conditions were changed. There are four things. We cannot give time to share in it now, but I just give you the four conclusions. You can get the book on the tape on Genesis, where we cover line upon line, precept upon precept, these four conclusions. Four things changed. Number one, time changed. The earth that was rotating the sun at 360 days a year became 365 and a quarter days as we know. Secondly, the earth became tilted and the four seasons started. Thirdly, the covering of water above the earth that was mentioned in Genesis 1 was dissipated, and more sunlight, ultraviolet light, infrared light, all kinds of radiation that man was protected before started coming through. That was one of the reasons why after Noah's flood you see a sudden change in the lifespan of man. Where man used to live 900 over years, 800 over years, suddenly it just became no 400 and then slowly became 100 plus. Today is only less than 100 as a normal. Because there are things that were released after man fell. And this earth is not fully what God wanted it to be. And the fourth thing that happened was man's diet was changed. God specifically allowed Noah to eat animals. The reason is because the world weather has changed. And if you were in a cold country, you take a large steak, you can see how warm it can keep you. And so we do not, please don't misunderstand me, we are not saying let's all go back to vegetarian. I am not a vegetarian, although I eat more vegetable and fruits than meat. But in the Bible, in Romans 14, they have quarrel about to eat vegetables or to eat meat. Please don't take this too far. Jesus ate fish, so that's alright. Alright, so we know he was not vegetarian. Praise the Lord. He did eat fish. Check in your Bible. And so what we are saying here is that after God made man in his pattern, there was a change after the fall. Before the fall, men experienced tremendous resources. His mind, his soul, his spirit was perfect. Adam could have lived 10,000 years and would still look the same as the day he was created. There's no way we could fully understand that. But then, when man fell, the mind of man became darkened. A part of the life in him was darkened. His mind was darkened in Ephesians chapter 4. Speaking about the condition of man, this is the description given. Verse 18. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart. So here it's talking about Gentiles, fallen men in general. How, because you're cut off from life, the understanding is darkened. And let me make it in a clearer point form. Life was cut off, therefore the understanding was darkened. You can conclude from that verse. Which one was cut off? Life. When life, spiritual life was cut off, the mind became darkened. So when life was cut off from Adam, when he sinned, darkness came. And man didn't know like he knew before. See, before he fell, he looked at the animals and straight away he would know what it is. He could name them. Do you know today, it takes one biologist or zoologist to study his whole life about ducks and reach some conclusion about ducks. Thank God that's all going to end in heaven. We're going to be restored fully. In this world right now, you have a partial restoration. The reverse is true. If life is removed and darkness comes, then when life is restored, light comes to the understanding. You understand in a new way. And we have testimonies of children who come to church and they make B and E, and when the spiritual life comes, their mind becomes enlightened and they start making A's. Their understanding became brilliant. Hagin was also one example. The reverse is also true. We have a partial restoration, although not a total, because this body needs to be changed to have a total restoration. So in line with that, we look now at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and it says here in verse 17 that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being what? Enlightened. The Greek word is force. Which means to be flooded with light. That you may know, he says. That we may understand. So the spirit of wisdom comes into our life and it gives light to our understanding. And as we proceed on, the word, the Greek word that is used here for light, for mind, is a Greek word that means the eyes of the imagination, the part of man that helps him visualize. There are two Greek words for the word mind. One is the word dianoia, which means the imagination. Luke chapter 1 translates dianoia as imagination. I like to prove all this on the Bible, so let's turn to Luke very quickly. Luke chapter 1, in verse 51, he has shown strength with his arm, he has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. The word imagination, my friend, comes from the same word translated mind in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, verse 17 and 18. The same Greek word. And in studying the Bible, both in the Greek and in the English, we see that the Bible uses two different words. There are many words for the word mind, but there are two main ones. One is the word dianoia, and the other is the Greek word dialogismos, and both means two different things. Dianoia means a part of your mind that is able to visualize, to conceive a picture. Dialogismos means a part of your mind that is analytical. Like 1 plus 1 is 2. That is not visualizing, that is analyzing. It's a part of your mind that can analyze. If A equals B and B equals C, therefore A equals C. It's a part of your mind that can analyze. If A equals B and B equals C, therefore A equals C. It's a part of our mind that is logical, dialogismos. And I just give you the scriptures. I have teachings on this area. In this area too, that we already touched on. And so this is a little bit of revision, but we're going further than what we have touched this morning. We're going further than that, and we are building a foundation here. So I won't turn to the scriptures, I just give you the scriptures in case you're taking notes, so that you know that what we're bringing forth is scriptural and biblical. For example, the word dialogismos is used in the book of Acts, chapter 18, verse 4, and verse 19, it speaks about Paul reasoning in the synagogue. Paul was reasoning. He was using dialogismos. Incidentally, dialogismos comes from the Greek word logis, which is the English word logic, where we get the English word logic, logical. Dia means true, logically true. T-H-R-O-U-G-H, true, seeing through something logically. And so dialogue is more than, what Paul was doing was this. He was taking Old Testament scripture and he was saying, this is what the Old Testament said about Jesus, and this is what Jesus did. This is what the Old Testament said, and this is what Jesus did. See, he was showing from the scriptures that Jesus will see all the Old Testament scriptures, and therefore he was the Messiah. He was reasoning with them from the scriptures. So the other part of the word mind used in the New Testament is the word dianoia, which refers to the ability of the in us, in our soul, that God has given to visualize. All of Western education focuses on logic. We are trained, science is a logical analysis. All of the whole educational system of the world relies on one aspect of the mind. Only recently and today are educators realizing that there is another part of the mind that is far more powerful, the ability of the mind to visualize. And only today are they beginning to learn the term on that. Now these are part of our mind that God has created, but in its fallen state, it does not function to the fullness that God wants it to function. And here is where we tie up with spiritual and inner vision. There are three ways you can see. One is in the natural, with your physical eyes. Second is through your soul. Third is through your spirit. Let me repeat. There are three ways that you can see. Just as there are three ways you can hear. You can hear in the natural. You can hear in your mind. And you can hear in your spirit. There are three ways you can see. You can see with your eyes, assuming your eyes are physically perfect and alright. You can see with your mind. And you can see with your spirit. Spiritual vision is given to the eyes of the spirit. But, listen very carefully. The eyes of the spirit are connected to the eyes of the mind, and they are connected to the eyes of the flesh. Sometimes Satan, knowing this, has tried through the eyes of the mind, of the flesh, to make an image to the eyes of your soul so that the eyes of your spirit will be blurred. when the serpent was tempting Eve, he told Eve about the fruit and what is supposed to do for them, which are all lies anyway. And Eve fell not only because of the reasoning of the serpent in Genesis 3. Eve fell because she saw with her physical eyes. When she saw with her physical eyes, that image got into her soul and it affected the reasoning of the soul and it made her and led her to a decision that caused a spiritual fall. When David was attacked by the enemy, when he fell into sin, in the book of Samuel, we read how he was on his rooftop. And on his rooftop, all the kings were going out to war. This is an Old Testament story, it's in the Bible, in the book of Samuel. The Bible says that as he was walking along his courtyard or balcony area, he looked over at his neighbor's house, and there was a woman bathing in a nude. Her name was Bathsheba because she loved to bathe. Excuse me, that was my, right? She was not called Bathsheba because she loved to bathe. Anyway, she was bathing. Her name was Bathsheba, and what David saw with his physical eyes produced a lust in his mind and imagination, and it led him to a decision that cost him dearly. You can see that Satan knows the connection. They are not isolated, as I said. God made your physical being and eyes after the spiritual. And so, the spiritual was there, the soul, and the physical. Now, the devil works from outside. So, he tries to get your eyes to see the wrong thing, hoping to impress a wrong image into your soul and lead you to a decision that will cause you to fall in the spirit. He knows the connection. Now the key to understanding inner and spiritual vision is this, is to understand the connection between the spirit and the soul. Just as Satan understood the connection between the soul and the physical, we must understand the relationship and know how to deal on that area. Now let's have some scriptures at this point, looking at the word dianoia and going further from there. Turn to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, chapter 8. I read the scriptures first and let you see if you can reach a conclusion. Hebrews chapter 8, in verse 10, 11, and 12. Here is where I'm proving to you that one of the things that God does is to train His people in inner vision based on a study of the Greek word. Remember that the word mind in this passage is the word dianoia, which is translated as imagination in the Gospel of Luke chapter 1. And in studying the Bible, I have come to the conclusion that this word should be translated as imagination or vision, visualizing. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their mind, in their dianoia, and write them in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Hebrews chapter 10, same thing repeated again, verse 16 and 17. This is a covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Do you notice a connection between Luke chapter 1, Hebrews 8 and Hebrews 10? There's something similar in the way he used the word mind. In case you have not seen it yet, this is a similarity. Every time the word dianoia or mind is used from the Greek word, the word heart is mentioned. You notice it? Don't miss it. See, why does he say the mind and then go to the heart very fast? I will write my laws in their mind and in their heart. And there in Luke chapter 1, it says the imagination of their heart. I could give more than three scriptures, but we don't have the time to do that. To show you how every time dianoia is used, there's a connection to the heart. What exactly is the heart? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of what? Soul and spirit, comma, and of joints and marrow, comma, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now look at the way he illustrates. Soul and spirit, comma. Joints and marrow, comma. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Tells you something there. The Bible is giving us a relationship between the soul and the spirit. Many people can, to a certain extent, differentiate their body from their soul. You know that there's a part of you that thinks, called the mind, but there's a bodily part called the brain. They are related, but you can't quite know how they are related. They could turn you up and not find a soul. They only find your body. Because the soul is invisible. So there is a relationship between the soul and the body. We know that. There's an inner consciousness in us that is outside of the body. Feelings, affections, things that are not physically caused necessarily. But it's real, it's inside. It's inside us. Human beings feel hurt, jealousy, envy. You don't see the animals feeling all these things. You don't see them experience the extent of the human experience of the human soul that God has made. And then human beings know right and wrong to a certain extent due to conscience. Animals doesn't know it. They don't know right and wrong. Animals don't have moral laws. Only man has. His soul and his spirit are conscious to a certain extent. So we know there's an outer man and an inner man. But the problem is people don't go further than that. There is a difference between the spirit and the soul too. There is a difference. And so here it's saying that your spirit, your soul and your spirit, your joints, and the Hebrew word, the Greek word for joints, talk about all your other bodily parts and your marrow. It's illustrating how the marrow, which is one of the places where blood is manufactured, is affecting the rest of your body. And then, it talks about the thoughts and then the intent of the heart, the relationship. So having made those relationships, this is where we draw a conclusion. The soul has a certain ability to think and to visualize and to see, but the greatest seeing is done from the spirit man. And on the day that you got born again, your spirit man's line with God is restored. Everything that God wants to speak to you, your spirit man automatically receives. There is no breakage, no communication problem, no overflow of data between your spirit man and Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit working. Everything that God wants to speak to you, He speaks through your spirit man. But there is a problem many times between our spirit man and our soul. Because the voice of the spirit is not discerned by the soul that is not trained. Just as our soul can receive impresses from the natural, our soul are subject to impresses from the spiritual realm. And in the area of inner visualizing and spiritual vision, what God does is first He cleanses. There has to be a cleansing. You see, not every imagination you have is from the spirit. Some are from the soul, from your eyes. And memories of what you saw, they are from the physical realm, which the devil tries to use. Therefore, the book of Hebrews, chapter 8, let's read on the book of Hebrews, chapter 8. He's speaking to us of this, says that if you understand this and you clear the channel between your heart and your mind, and your heart and your mind are flowing in the spirit, it says in verse 11, none of them shall teach his neighbor and none his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know the Lord. That's an amazing place to reach. Then in chapter 10, after he repeated verse 16 and 17, where he says that he will put his laws in their hearts and in their minds, and I will write upon them, he says in verse 19. It continues with the same thing. Therefore, now when you see a therefore, it means there's a conclusion being reached by statements that precede it. So there is a connection in verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart. And that's a true heart, it's a false heart. We have a true heart in assurance of faith, full assurance of faith, having our what? Hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Now he's saying there has to be a cleansing that takes place in the area of our heart where the conscience resides. Now let me go into this simpler statement now. The heart is a part of your life that connects intricately with your spirit. Intricately. And unless a heart is cleansed, the channel between the spirit and the soul is affected. Therefore, he says, let the heart be cleansed by the blood. So that's the first thing we see here. that in order to be in a position to really receive an inner spiritual vision. The reason we touch on this earth is this. Because seeing pictures is a norm in all lives. You see pictures in you all the time. Imagining is something even children do. Because it's such a norm, in order to dissect and divide that which is from God and that which is from ourselves or that which is from the enemy, there need to be the blood cleansing. Why the blood? If the intents of your heart are not right, you will not see the right picture. Your inner man is affected. Let's say you already have made up your mind in certain things, in a wrong thing. Perhaps you are a very lustful person. You have all kinds of wild imaginations because of the things you do and the things you read. You fill your mind with the wrong things. You will never be able to operate dianoia or inner spiritual vision. For Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, please turn over to Matthew 5. Matthew chapter 5. Powerful statement that he made here in verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Friends, it's Jesus who made that statement. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And here is where the first key to break into inner and spiritual vision. We have to reach a point where our heart is still cleansed and in union with Jesus. Sometimes you try to move out of that position. When you worry, your heart is troubled, or you have sin coming into your life, it will affect your ability to receive in the third kind of vision called spiritual or inner vision. So one of the first keys to move into the area is a cleansing of the heart. And it's not something that just applies to being born again. When you're born again, you're cleansed. But we can allow the wrong things to come, and we need to confess our sins before God and remain cleansed. For that reason, if you have sin in your life and you try to move into the spirit, you open yourself to the spirit realm, you can receive wrong information. Dangerous. It's dangerous to open yourself to the spirit world if you're not under the blood. Deception will come in. So we're talking about a very sacred area. The area of your inner vision, and that's the area where God brings tremendous vision to all of us. And everything received to that realm is a picture, is a vision from the inside coming out. And if your mind is renewed to understand it, then you could be led by the Spirit in that realm. Let me make this statement too. In the majority of Christians' lives, inner and spiritual vision is trying to work, trying to come true. But not many are picking it up because of pollution in their mind and of the heart. Only as we cleanse ourselves in the blood can we open ourselves to the realm of the Spirit. The tremendous realm. And so let me conclude by giving some principles to guide spiritual vision and its operation. all the three keys are operating in the anointing operate here. That is, in order to flow in the fullness of it, we have to receive it first. Second, we have to understand it. And thirdly, we need to interpret it. Its meaning coming forth. I illustrate with a few examples afterwards. We have to be in a position to receive them, which when you're born again, God starts working in your life. And the reason we teach on this area is because many of you are receiving some spiritual vision, but you're not aware there is spiritual vision. Most of the time you thought that it's your imagination. Your imagination. So number one is to receive. To receive is very simple. Just to constantly be under the blood, worship and praise the Lord, be in a spiritual atmosphere, it will always keep flowing in your life, richly from your heart. But the second is more difficult, to understand its meaning. To understand its meaning. Like for example, some of you receive pictures of people coming to you in your prayer. By pictures, I'm talking about the inner pictures that come. And you're wondering what they are. They need interpretation. Sometimes it could be asking you to pray for those people, or you already were praying for those people. Like for example, sometimes when I minister, I open myself to the spirit realm, and it is one of the ways that the spirit operates. So here, as I stand before people to minister, and I stand before a person, let's say I have never seen a person before. Suddenly to my mind comes somebody who has no relationship with this person. I have never met this person before. But to my mind comes this person, a picture of this other person comes in. I'm looking at this person, but my mind tunes up to my heart and receives that picture. It's transmitted through clearly. I don't understand it. If I don't understand it, I cannot operate it. And so, we have to seek God for the understanding. And here's the understanding. Later God showed me that what He was trying to tell me was that this person that I'm praying for had the same particular problem that guy had. Isn't it marvelous the way He works? So simple, but yet we sometimes miss it. So simple. Then, as I was praying for this person, here comes this picture. And I didn't understand what it was. Later I asked the Lord, saying, I'm trying to tell you that this person had the same problem. Just tell the person what his problem is. See, God brings it to your mind. Through your heart, through your mind. That's a connection. The most important thing is to realize here that there's nothing in the natural that causes it. I mean, you are not even thinking of this other person. You're concentrating on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it just comes through your heart, through your mind. And many times when each of you were praying in the realm of the spirit, a lot of things go through the corridors of your spirit. It goes through your heart and through your mind, but we many times don't pay attention to it. There was a time when I operated in the world of knowledge, and I used to call out people. So for various sicknesses, and I was receiving some other signals that I don't understand in the corridors of the heart. Later the Lord began to speak to me that it is connected. Those were the particular people, how they were dressed, whether it was a man or a woman. I said, Lord, sorry I missed it. See, if you don't pay attention to what is happening in the innermost parts of your heart, you miss a lot of things in the spirit. And God says that in the last days His Spirit will pour out upon all flesh, and young men shall see visions. Young men, according to our classification, are those who come against satanic forces, who overcome the evil one, and who are strong in the word of God. Part of the spiritual battle that you have to fight is learning to let the visions of God lead you in your spiritual weapons. The successful soldier in the army is the one who does exactly what the commander commands. We have to be in tune and in line with our chief commander, Jesus Christ. And so he's telling us some things, and unless we are following what he's telling us, we are not waging a good warfare, a powerful warfare that he wants us to fight. And so the second thing is to understand this inner vision. And a lot of it seems so natural that we miss it. It seems so natural that we miss it. I mean, we just think, oh, I don't know why I'm talking about this person, etc. It just comes. Or it can come in different ways. For some of you, this is the way it's coming.
This is the end of side one. Please turn your tape over.
For some of you, this is the way it's coming, that you could be opening yourself to allegorical kind of inner vision. Where sometimes as you face a person, I think Bob Buiz does a lot of that. As you face a person, you begin to open your spirit up and you begin to sense a picture coming to you. It could be a basket of fruit. So what's a basket of fruit related to this guy here? But if you examine it and focus it properly, say some of us, our inner vision or our binoculars, we need to focus it, our focus. And you see very carefully and you say, hey, it's a particular type of fruit. And then what does a particular fruit represent? And you focus it properly and you say, oh, you know, the grapes that are there. And you look at it, it's all grapes. And then if you examine it more carefully and you focus it, then you see, hey, it's a full, whole market full of grapes. And as you focus it, to your mind comes John 15. And then more things come. So see, God has to speak to you in that area. Now, in this second area here, operating in inner and spiritual vision is slightly different from open and closed vision. Open and closed vision, you receive it, grand slam, boom, you got it. Like the Big Bang theory of the universe. Bang, and they say the universe came into being. The Big Bang came from God. The only problem, they didn't tell who, was God. He spoke, let there be light. And they were. So, the first two types of vision, it just comes. Right. You could remember the details later. And later you remember, you know, all the details. You could keep on remembering that. But inner and spiritual vision operates things slightly different, peculiar. And this is a peculiarity. You could focus on it and get clearer details if you are receptive. It's different. You could focus on it like a telescope and then you adjust it, bring it nearer. And then suddenly it could be adjusted, it goes further and you see the background. It's interesting. And you offer an inner and spiritual vision. You could, for example, pray for somebody or be in the atmosphere of somebody and then you suddenly see this person in a field. And in a small, tiny little field. And the picture stays there, it doesn't move, it doesn't shift, it doesn't pocket. It just remains there. And if you were not receptive, you did not listen to this kind of message, you weren't open to the spirit, you didn't let it go, nothing happens. Nothing happens. But if you stop paying attention to it and opening yourself to it, then you focus. You begin to focus and say, hey, God is giving something here, and you focus on it. As you focus on it, the Holy Spirit may do two things. He may have you zoom. You know, even the spirit lens or zoom lens. He may have you zoom on it. Zoom. And then you go closer and you say, this person is dressed in a particular way. There's a particular a detail to the dress. Or suddenly it can go like angle. Zoom. And you say, hey, behind that seal, behind on the left side, there are scorpions there, and then you see some things in the picture. It's interesting when you begin to operate the inner spiritual vision, the details increase as you flow in them. The details increase as you flow in them. They are coming out from your heart. The reason they are different from the other two visions, this is coming out from your heart to your mind. And so there is a information flow.
that is increasing as you tune to it. It's just like the data they receive through the satellite. As the satellite passes by Neptune, they receive data. And as the data come in, they see a picture. More data come in, they see a better picture in those recent satellites that pass all the solar systems. So in the same way, there is a data flow from your heart to your mind. If you close out to the data, it stops. If you open up to it, more flows. It comes in. That is where you could focus on zoom or focus on wide angle. And we have to let the Holy Spirit guide us. The Holy Spirit is the one who helps you focus on it. You will see more details in that realm and operate in it. And the details will be part of the process to help you to interpret. Like for example, when we pray, for example, I'm talking about practical things. I'm not talking about things so airy-fairy, it doesn't apply. Let's say, when we pray for the church land, every time I pray, all I see is a big map. Where in the world is it? At least I know where in the world it is. It must be within KL. Not too bad, but there's many square miles. And then as the more you pray, the more the zoom lens goes. And now we define the place, we define the land, and we negotiate the land. See, it zooms in. Some of you in the business area, you have been educated in the Western way. You have been educated, you are an analytical, logical, intellectual nut. But you miss out on life's best because you were not trained in dianoia, in visualizing. The world trains you to visualize in a different way. It depends on the strength of the soul, not on the strength of the spirit. The second difference is the world tries to get the vision, tries to let you form the vision and make things go by that vision. Whereas in the spirit realm, you don't make the vision, you receive them. God makes them. You can't visualize something that God doesn't want you to have. God makes them. But we just receive them and cooperate with it and let it grow within us. And so we have, in the business realm, some of you could be praying, and you could be praying, and you're waiting for God's voice to hear. How do you expect God's voice? Oh, inner witness, you have been trained to the inner voice. Voice of the human spirit. What is the voice like? Oh, is it inner thoughts? Oh, you've been trained. Holy Spirit's voice or some other voice. Prophecy confirmed, which we're going to see next week, prophecy. And but then, way at the corner of your heart, is a little picture coming out, but you're ignoring it. The more you pray, there's a tiny picture coming out, a little basket of fruit. Yeah, what is this food coming into my mind? Must I add too much fruit that day? But the more you pray, then it keeps bubbling up. The more you pray, it bubbles up. In the end, you see, here you are, you're trained in analytics, but you're not trained about visualizing. And in the end, you're open to it, you tune to it. Hey, what is that thing? Let me have a look. And you tune to it. The moment you tune to it, here it comes, zoom lens coming out. And it comes up, you see, the basket of fruit, and following that fruit, you begin to see beyond the fruit, and you see buildings, etc. And then God begins to speak to you. You begin to realize, hey, God was speaking to you to do business in that area. He's telling me I will bear fruit in that area. And he's telling me, you know, to go into that field of business. But we miss it because we are not tuned to it. See, a lot of times it's not because God did not speak, but it's because we did not hear. And not only we did not hear, but we look for the wrong areas to hear. When God says in the last days, He shall give us vision. Many times when God, when you pray, the next time now after this teaching, when you pray, don't only open your ears, please open your eyes. How would you like to go around the world physically just with your eyes closed? And miss a part of life because you never open your eyes. In the same way, you are trying to receive instruction from God. And all you did is open your spiritual ears like a bell. When God was trying to bring some things with your eyes, And you missed it because you were not trained in spiritual inner vision. But the thing that people didn't go further is this. Spiritual and inner vision have focusing abilities, zoom and wide angle. Detail, sometimes black and white, color, green. Three color, trinitron. And all kinds. And as you move further, the more you zoom in it, the clearer. And it gets in an exciting light. You see, the realm of the spirit is exciting. People think that it's dull. But once you move into this area on the realm of the spirit, you say, hey, there's so many things in the spirit realm to discover, and you don't need the things of the world to entertain you anymore. You've got God to entertain you. Hallelujah. And he will show you things to come. Let me tell you, every man of God and those who walk with God know the things of the future. Paul knew in Acts 20, he told the people, I'm not going to see you again, I know it. He knew it. And Paul knew when he was going to die in 2 Timothy, he says, surely I'll be going home, I fought a good fight of faith. Peter knew when he was going to die. Jesus knew when he was going to die. He even knew the exact time they were going to come and betray him. How did they know? Not only because they opened their ears, but because they were open to the realm of the inner vision. And let me say this more. This is very important. God speaks more in visions than in voices. Can you see how much we miss if we only got voices? God speaks more in visions than in voices. The whole spiritual realm is a realm of visions. And if you do not train yourself into this area, inner vision, spiritual vision, there's a far lot that you miss. So the second characteristic, we talk about all this. The second point, we talk about understanding it, and we talk about all the various ways in the spiritual inner vision operate. And thirdly, and finally, we see we learn to channel it. Every vision has its time for fulfillment. And under the third point, remember just three key words. What, how, and when. God will show you what it is, the fact. And God will show you how to bring it about. And then, that's not good enough, God will show you when to start it up. Because when you operate in the realm of spiritual vision, it's very important that you move into the realm, and this is what I discover. You move into the realm where time doesn't count anymore. See, sometimes you move into the realm of the spirit, and you could see into the realm of the spirit, in the realm of space, there's no time. See, if you try to move into the realm of the spirit, and as I move in the realm of spirit and try to detect in the life of this person what it is like, the first thing I begin to pick up in my spirit is a picture. Not a voice yet, it's a picture. You see, the spirit realm is primarily pictures. And I pick up in my spirit a sort of a furnace, burning, black smoke coming out. I'm picking it up. But I must also pick up the time span. Is it something from his past or something in the future? That's why the when is important. The what, the how, and the when. The how is when God tells you to do something and you have to really get the details. So it's from the past. See, I'm picking up the when is from the past. And as I pick up, it remains stationary because I'm not focusing on it now. Some of you, which is spiritual, which it remains stationary because you didn't focus on it. But as I turn and I close my eyes and concentrate on what is going on in that spirit realm, and see in that spirit realm that furnace, and I begin to see rain coming down and just covering it. See, more details come as you move into that realm. And I just flood, and the whole thing is gonna, and the smoke is eradicated, and suddenly there was like a rainbow over there. It's a continuous moving picture that flows along, right? You're in the covenant of God. In the past, your life was dark, like a burning furnace, something burning, you know, to consume, right? But it seems that there's peace, covenant, isn't it right? Perfectly right.
So it's important for us to see that the realm of the inner vision is continuous. You just move continuously into that realm. You could focus, zoom on it, wide angle, zoom, etc. But the third part is very important. What is it exactly? How to go about it and when? Pictures will go with words. See, as you receive the pictures, words start coming. They go together. They go together. And the realm of the spirit is such. You hear God's voice, but as you see the pictures and you tune to them, the voice and the words go together to form the whole picture. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord. And thank you, Father God, that the spirit realm is not something strange that only a few hermits or strange-looking men of God can operate. But the realm of the spirit is something every believer can operate. Every believer can move into the realm of the spirit. But Father, we know the sacredness of it. We know the responsibility involved. We have to have a pure heart. We have to be cleansed. Otherwise, our reception will be infiltrated and inaccurate. So, Father God, we yield ourselves to your spirit even today. And we pray, O God, that your people will understand the fullness of the realm of the spirit. And they will begin to move deeper and deeper into the realm, as in the last days you pour out visions and revelations. And we know, Lord, over 90% of those visions are spiritual and inner visions. And your people are not picking it up because they are not looking into that area. So, Father God, we pray that as we become trained in the realm of your spirit, we begin to pick all these things up and not miss out any word that you have spoken, whether in vision or in your inward voice. We pray, O God, that we will miss nothing, absolutely nothing, that your Holy Spirit is speaking to our lives. We thank you, Father God, for your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's just rise together and sing that song, asking God to mold our lives, have thine own way. Oh Lord, have thine own way. Ask God to mold our hearts and our minds. This morning he came up and he said that the Lord will you want, and he came up and came back again. You just come right up here, you sister with that asthma, you just come right up now. I see the Lord's Spirit descending upon you and ministering to you.
See what is happening here. I open myself to the spirit. I saw a picture of her. And I saw the spirit of John falling down upon you. Like a light shining upon you. Lift up your hands. Even now the power of God is working in you. There it goes to receive that flood of light. Even right now you feel that oppression all over your head. It's going to leave now. In Jesus' name. Leave! There you go. There you go. And we are picking up also a sister who is very in pain. In a pain dress, your late 20s, you have an allergy problem. God wants to heal you from right up to the front. But Jesus is calling for you right now to bring a healing to your life. The young man in a white t-shirt, dark skin, short sleeve, with a bright dark tan. You have been having sleepless nights that trouble you. Seems like a demonic activity involved. Because you got certain weakness in your life. I won't say what it is, I know exactly what it is. But it's open a door. You just come right up because God wants to deal with that in your life and set it free from that bondage. Right now. Have thine own way. Have thine own way. So, a sister rides on the that section. She rolls on the back. You have a problem on your head area, feels hot. Every time you move your neck, mind your neck and head, pain just goes all over your forehead and your head. Jesus wants to heal you. You come right up. Jesus wants to heal you right now. Right now. Healing is waiting for you. A man in your church is having a blue shirt, a bluish colored shirt, grayish black pants, short sleeve. You are having a particular chest problem that has recently been more acute. In fact, thoughts have occurred to you whether this is a heart problem. You come right up, sir. Jesus wants to heal you. Wonderful Jesus. Another sister about the second row from the front, wearing a bluish colored dress, with problems all over on your leg area. Please step forward, Jesus will heal you now. Set up. Time for the healing. And you also have breathing problems. Come right up to God. Jesus wants to heal you right now. Right now. He wants to heal you. Wonderful Jesus. Holy worship you. Housewife, you have pains all over the joints of your hands. You're a mother of two children. Pains in the joint of your hands. Mother, you come right up. God's going to heal your hands. Only believe He will heal you. So you want your lip of your hand to the Lord in surrender to Him right now. Because God